Welcome to Two Bards, One Mic. Insert interesting music here.
I swear we're actually going to get music one of these days.
Nah.
2:45.
2:35.
2:3. It says far up there. 2:45.
2:40. 2:45?
2:45.
2:45. 2:45. There we go.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, Andy.
So it wasn't 6 weeks between podcasts.
Not quite.
But
no.
It wasn't one either.
It wasn't.
How's it going?
It's going pretty good.
Yeah. Got some life changes.
Yes.
Going on.
Yeah. We have a special guest in the studio today.
Sort of, yeah.
She's sleeping right
now.
She's
sleeping, yeah.
Got a new addition to the family.
Yes, a poopy.
As a poopy. A poopy puppy.
Scott is a poopy for you. Enjoy your poopy.
And, yeah, funny story about the dog.
Yes, tell me the story.
I'll start off with a funny story. So many people... Oh, go ahead.
Where can people see a photo of this dog?
On Jen or Mai's Facebook.
There you go.
And I will probably throw one up on the Discord channel as well. Most of them are of her sleeping, but...
She's a puppy. She sleeps
a lot.
She's
a puppy, and it's the best time to get her, because otherwise it's like, okay, look at the kid. Oh, fuck.
Puppies and kids, same thing.
Yep.
Just the best time is when they're asleep.
Yeah.
I don't know about taking photos or anything. I'm just saying the best time is when they're asleep.
Amen. So some of our listeners may know someone named John Palms.
Yes.
And he is...
Ooh. Got ourselves a little...
I'm going to hit pause on this for a minute because I have to take this. We'll be right back. And we're back.
Back?
Yeah, so that was the managing artistic director of Renton Civic Theater who was asking if I had been to the theater because the alarm went off.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, and I said, nope, I haven't been there. So anyway... back to the story. So John Palms has a big dog named Chewbacca. Beautiful dog. And he drives Uber. And
Chewbacca? That's amazing.
Yes, he's a very talented dog.
Yeah.
It's kind of slave labor, but since he's canine,
yeah,
doesn't fall under the same
correct
laws. Apparently, what I think I got of the story was John was driving someone, and she had a Lhasa puppy, or a dog, and was going to take her, she was moving or couldn't have the dog anymore or something, and was going to take the dog to the pound. And John thought, well, Sarah would like to have a little dog, so I'll just take the dog. Great. Dog has a new home. Lady's super happy. Doesn't have to go to the pound.
This
John gets the dog home,
puppies,
and
it?
He's kind of like, okay, this is interesting.
Yeah.
Her teats are a little developed, and then all of a sudden, there were five more dogs.
That's the plot of Gremlins.
Kind of.
Yeah. Hoyt Axton was driving an Uber, and an old Chinese... No, that's not. But it's... I mean, yeah, like, that's...
So
fun.
Now they have a litter of pups.
Oh, yeah.
And they named them all after Back to the Future characters.
Nice.
And the way things are working out now is the dog that was pregnant is now going to another friend of theirs who wants a, you know, potty trained
older yeah.
dog that they just, you know,
they're
ready
much
to go.
They're much easier.
Here we go.
Yeah.
They're going to keep Biff. And Biff looks like a furry potato.
Oh, the country needs to get rid of Biff. But anyway, yeah.
And they can't, without a lot of money, can't determine if he's normal or abnormal. But he is the most adorable dark brown and white fluff ball that I would. Yeah. Anyway, we got Lorraine.
Lorraine.
And that name is okay, especially in the context given that it's Back to the Future. I'm like, okay, that's got geek cred. That's cool. But. Nah, it wasn't really sitting well with Jen. Wasn't really sitting well with me.
It's a puppy until they're all like, just pick a new one.
Yeah. So we kind of, in keeping with the thought of Lorraine, we were like, well, how about we call her Rainy? And you know, it's Seattle after all.
After all,
it's a perfectly appropriate name for a dog.
Indeed.
And then Rainy. It kind of got to, well, that just starts sounding like we're calling the weather. And we thought about Ray.
Yeah.
And I said, well, if we spell it R-E-Y.
You're in.
I'm in. Jen's Y. I'm Star Wars.
Well, look at the coloring, too. It's perfect.
I know.
She looks like she's wearing Ray's robes.
Yeah. She's white with a little bit of creamy brown.
Yep.
So now we have Ray. And we've had her right at a week. We got her on the 5th of July, and it's the 13th. So just a little over a week. And she's almost potty trained. She's pretty much pippy potty trained.
Mm-hmm.
Poopy, still not so much. Mm. And it's interesting, the psychology of dogs.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't like the collar so much, and she doesn't like being on a leash. Mm-hmm. She'll go for a walk. She wants to smell everything. She doesn't want to come away from a smell that she's found, but she will. And when she first got used to the leash, it was hilarious because it was like when she was trying to go somewhere and got to the end of it, it was like I had a fish on the line. She just turned into Jiffy Pop popcorn. And was just jumping all over the place, not understanding why she could not go in the direction she wanted to go in. But
what kind of magic is this?
Getting better at that. But when we go on walks, really won't go to the bathroom and hasn't figured out that when she smells where other dogs have gone, she's supposed to cover that with her own smell.
Right.
So what we have to do is take her out in the front yard without a leash and say, go potty.
Right.
And she will. And right now it's that fine-tuning, okay, what are the characteristics she gives off when she needs to do something?
Mm-hmm.
And normally it's, oh, I think she needs to do something. I'm going to do A in preparation of coming back from potty.
Ah.
And when I go to do A, it's too late. Mm-hmm. Potty has already happened. So... can't get mad at the dog. She was telling me I chose to do something else. So it's that nice fine line that we're getting to. She's going through the teething stage. She has a bunch of toys, but prefers fingers and toes.
Shoelaces. That's what I found today.
She really likes nuzzling into my beard.
Yeah.
She also found my nipple. Oh. Which was quite the surprise to me when she decided to think, huh, wonder if there's food in that.
Chomp.
So we quickly settled on, not while mommy's home. When mommy's not home, that's acceptable behavior. No. So yeah.
Pretty sure podcasts can be used in court, dude.
Yeah, exactly. Jen knows. Jen told me it wasn't acceptable, so it's not acceptable.
Okay.
But yeah, we're kind of getting into our flow. First few nights of her sleeping in the crate, because I believe in crate training dogs. They need to know that they have a safe place to go. You need to know that they can be in a safe place. But the first couple nights, I got maybe 2 hours of sleep in 3 days.
Sounds about right.
And part of that was just me going, I feel so bad. I want her on the bed with me. That's how I raised Cosette.
Yeah.
She was with me all the time, and Jen's like, she is not sleeping on the bed.
Yeah. We should have saved that. Like, we should have saved the question from last podcast for this week, because that would have been your answer.
Oh, it
could still be your answer.
It could still be my answer, because we didn't talk about our answers, really.
No, I was too tired.
Yeah. So that's kind of what's new. And then I did hold auditions for the show that I'm going to be directing in August, September. It goes up September 20th, runs through October 5th. Have my cast picked. We're working on getting a table read. I'm very happy with the way everything shook out. Some problems that I thought it was going to have, I believe I've been able to overcome with casting. So I'm excited. The cast is really excited, which is great. I've got some really good veterans. I've got some new people. So should be, well, we'll see. That may be another revisiting the why are you tired answer at a later date. But
indeed,
at this present time, things are going along smoothly in that regard.
Man, I could go for some smooth right now.
How about you?
Well,
those are the two big things new in my life.
My life isn't Jiffy extra creamy. It is Peter Pan extra chunky. still trying to sell the house. It has now been on the market for 24, 25 days. We really were hoping to have an offer, at least even a low ball at this point. And we haven't had anything yet. We're doing another open house tomorrow. So again, my life is go home, clean, go to bed, wake up, clean, go to work. And on the weekends, it's the same thing, but then get the fuck out of the house instead of going to work and try to find something to do.
Mm-hmm.
So that sucks. But yeah, I'm hoping that something happens, that we get anything, any movement at all. Who knows, though? Apart from that, when I have had a couple of moments here or there, so I've been working on those Cooking with Caro videos.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've... I'm assuming most people have seen them. We're sharing them to the Patreon. If you're a patron, I've been sharing sort of some progress videos so people can kind of see how this stuff matures over time.
Mm-hmm.
You can see that the very first like assembly cut versus what's final, there's a lot of work that goes into the differences between those two. So I really like showing that process. If people are interested in it, let me know and I'll keep doing it. I have one more to edit. Well, technically I have three more to edit because now I have to go back through and remove the JQ Kickstarter references because we filmed two takes of anything that referenced the Kickstarter. Because, you know, it was originally for Kickstarter promotion. Of course, JQ funded.
Yep.
Yesterday at 9 p.m. they funded at, I think, 14K over.
Nice.
Their goal. So that's good. And unfortunately, like, we won't know anything about equipment or anything for a couple of months, apparently. But people are getting paychecks, so that's good.
Yeah.
I've done a couple of gigs. I think I had already done Chaldea on the last mm-hmm. podcast. I forget, but I think I had. I've got one coming up on Tuesday where I have to go to Issaquah and be overexerted in a bathtub. So, you know, just normal Tuesday.
So are you on camera?
Yes, this is an on-camera
gig. Okay.
And then, of course, Monday I've got Metaverse. The finale is coming up. So tune in to Metaverse on Monday if you want to see the last bit of Project Metaverse, which is not the main Metaverse canon story. It's much funnier. So, because I'm in it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the you know, stuff we have going on right now. Nothing else, really, simply because there's no time to do anything aside from... Well, that's not true. I've been playing Super Mario Maker 2 a lot.
Mm.
Portable, so I can do it. You know, I brought it. I'm probably going to play it a little later today. I'm getting really good at... Well, I'm not good at Super Mario Maker 2. What I'm good at is persistently banging my head against something over and over again until I finally get through it. So... Which might be why we're having trouble selling the house, because there wasn't a door where I wanted there to be one, so I just banged my head again. No. basically, yeah, the whole Super Mario Maker 2 thing, I'm very bad at Mario, I've decided, but I'm persistent. So, like, I did one of the super expert levels was made by this guy, Ryukar, who does streaming. a lot of people who do Super Mario Maker streaming are insufferable and impossible to watch. Like, they are terrible, terrible, terrible people to watch. This Ryukar guy isn't. He's enjoyable to watch. He's much more human than a lot of these people in mm-hmm. terms of just how he acts and stuff. So he made a level that he said was medium difficulty. Oh my God, it's got a 0.38% clear rate currently.
Wow.
Yeah, 0.38%. So, like, just about 4 people out of 1,000 finish it who try it. So I feel pretty good. I beat that one. And I've beat a few others that are considered super hard. Yeah, and I really like them. They're a lot of fun.
Cool. I've been playing Diggy's Adventure on my phone.
Diggy, diggy, diggy.
It's kind of one that you can play and then put down and then
yeah.
wait for things to recharge and then play because I'm not going to pay for a bunch of shit. But
hell yeah.
Also, hell no, I apologize guess. Now for any coughing that happens. I'm recovering from bronchitis and Jen now has it, so it's the other ever-present thing in the house. Oh, and speaking of things funding, the G-Dome underwater camera housing funded.
Nice.
So I will have that to start looking forward to playing around with.
Nice.
And they got, I think they got about 14,000 over what they were asking, but they were only asking for 20,000. So they got quite a lot in there. They've been re-engineering while the campaign was going on. So there's a lot of upgrades to things. So that should be exciting. Oh, man. I'm tired.
Me too.
Andy?
Yeah.
Why are you tired?
I think I pretty much laid that out for folks. Oh, the other thing is, I don't sleep very well at night right now. Summertime sucks. I would say for big people, but no, just summertime sucks. It's yeah. just terrible. I prefer having my room at about 63 degrees and covering up in blankets, no matter what time of year it is. Aaron does not. Aaron is a 72 degrees kind of person. Mm. And though that's not entirely true, sometimes she overheats and wants it. So it's all dependent on what you did during the day and everything like that.
Yep.
You know, and it's like, did you get sun? Oh, better fucking crank that AC up because it sucks. So I'm not sleeping well. We got a bed frame. I'm used to having a futon on a floor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a 42-year-old who lives just like 2 21-year-olds, I guess. I love having a futon on the floor, but we had to get a frame so the house looked more presentable.
Mm-hmm.
And it had slats, and it's like super sturdy, but I can feel the slats.
Yeah.
Aaron can feel the slats. We can both feel the slats. So we put basically just some flat plastic we had from under the, and that helped, but for 2.5 weeks we were sleeping on these slats and just being super uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It hasn't been super great. Other than that though, just the house shit, man.
Yeah.
Just tired because of the house shit.
I'm tired because of the puppy.
Well, should we see why other people are tired since we asked?
Yeah, since that is the cool. Bardic question of the week.
Right.
Why are you tired?
Well, Casey Lee is tired for two reasons. Empathy and making a Warhammer is hard work. And I've seen his Warhammer. It's pretty cool looking. But empathy is the real rough one. Ain't that true?
It is. Matthew Hunt says, quite simply, life.
It's true. So true.
Yeah.
So, 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 so true. Dougie Sharp says, not getting enough sleep, usually 6 hours a night during the week. Then 9 or 10 on the weekends if I get to sleep in.
And wow, you lucky son of a bitch.
Well, we all know, though, that doesn't actually help with your tired during the week.
No.
But it is really nice for those couple of days you get to do it.
Yes. Linkmaster General Seth Davis says, lately I'm tired because I'm feeling my age. Oh, oh, you young, young pup. You have so much to look forward to. I spend too much time worrying about things outside of my circle of influence. Amen. And a lot of the people and things that I love don't seem to be loving me back. Brené Brown's latest book, Dare to Lead, suggests that oftentimes feeling tired could be a sign that you are lonely. There might be a dose of that going on, too.
Huh. Well, we'll have to talk, Seth. That's sad. Rob McLennan writes, work. Having five people to cover 3,500 computers, but only actually two people doing the majority of it on a daily basis, wears you down both physically and mentally. True, true, true.
I will give you one point of solace, though. You are working on an educational campus. I worked for a law firm. I guarantee you, you don't want 3,500 lawyers, firm computers.
Yeah. No shit.
We had three floors, and every time, hey, my laptop's... excuse me. My laptop's infected with a virus. And then we get into it and see how depraved these lawyers are and go, well, maybe you should stop going to these sites, sir or ma'am. And that would help not infect your computer or your body.
I have to research the illegalities they're doing.
Yeah. Rival guy says, no one has built an Enertron yet. I do daily intermittent fasting, so I'm already hungry.
Truth to that. James, I'm assuming Peters?
Yes.
Cool.
It's the only... Yeah, well, no, not the only James, yeah. But I think it's the only James with nothing at the end because...
Okay. I've not been getting to sleep early enough, as many times I don't get home until after 10 p.m. It's hard to carve out time for myself during the day, so I try to cram it all into a couple of hours at the end. I may also not be getting the best quality of sleep, truth, and I'm afraid to go get a sleep test in case they tell me I need a machine for sleep. Well, guess what, buddy? You and like 30% of the country. Just
yep.
Go do it.
Yes, absolutely. Go do it because there's a few things. As a CPAP, sorry, as a VPAP user now... Or I can't even call it VPAP because that's patented. Yeah. A BiPAP machine, which
means...
He's
your apnea daddy. He's your VPAPy.
So a CPAP is constant pressure
right.
of X amount inhalation, exhalation. Versus I'm on a BiPAP, so when I inhale, it's 12 pounds of pressure. When I exhale, it's 8 pounds of pressure.
Yep.
And, yes, I believe Andy posted on the Discord channel the alien... face hugger CPAP machine mask.
Fuck yeah.
Which was pretty awesome. But I have liked what are called nose pillows. And it's just the tube fits nice silicone pillows that go slightly into the nostrils. There's a little bit of pressure. And that really helped me a lot because I didn't like the hard plastic full face mask. And I have a beard. But because of, I'm going to say millennials, CPAP manufacturers have started making full-on silicone, I'm going to call it a balloon mask. Hmm. So it's a round surface with a large area for your mouth and then a band and then a slit for under your nose. Mm-hmm. It fastens below my ear and above my ear. And the cool thing about this, most of the face or nasal pillows or whatever, the hose comes in right at that point of contact. This particular one has silicone tubing that goes up over the top of your head, and the air valve is at the top of that. So now I don't have anything around my face. I don't get hose wrapped around my neck. They do take some getting used to. Andy still can't because Andy wakes up in the middle of the night or doesn't wake up in the middle of the night.
I woke up.
And just slaps the damn thing out of the way. And, you know, that's not effective. But I have found even with my beard coming back and I started clean shaven from 12 Angry Men to now having back my relatively full beard. And it is still working like a champ. I'm still able to sleep. It is probably the best thing that I've done, A, for myself, and B, for any partner. Used to have a girlfriend who thought my snoring was cute, and my parents thought, you need to leave her, that's not cute what you do in the middle of the night that we can hear three rooms away. So, yeah, that makes things a whole lot easier, You do get better sleep. Yeah, there is a ramp up period, but you can take sleeping aids. I would recommend getting on melatonin, 3 milligrams, an hour before sleep. That will help you go to sleep. Ambien is great because it knocks you the fuck out, but you're kind of woozy in the morning. And I'm pretty sure that what we thought was a trans ischemic attack, my mini stroke, was actually caused by Ambien because I had another episode in England, but I was very coherent of what was going on, much like I was coherent, which was going on here.
Right.
And showed no signs of stroke. So Ambien's not so great, but cyclobenzaprine, you can get in like 0.5 milligram tabs, and those will help just sort of shut off your brain so that you can get to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's half the battle. Because for me, the problem was I couldn't get to sleep. I had this thing on my face. I was, because that was there and I wasn't going to sleep, I was thinking about everything that was going on for the day, everything that was going on the next day, everything I had coming up in a week. And I just couldn't get to sleep.
Right.
But now, through my doctor's help, I have gotten off the Ambien or Zolpidem, which is a generic. And I don't use that. Maybe on occasion I'll do like 2.5 milligrams, but that's only if I haven't been sleeping for 4 days due to dog whining at night.
Right.
And then get back off it, and then you're okay. So, yeah, James, please go have the sleep test done.
Please.
It's really, really worth it. Mm-hmm. If nothing else, it will just tell you that, no, you don't have enough blockages during the night, but you may be progressing to a point where you're going to need to.
You're going to need to. It can also tell you, it's not just for apnea. It can tell you other things, like... It can tell you if you're getting, like, if restless leg syndrome is a problem. Yeah. It can tell you, like, anything that wakes you up overnight. It can basically tell you, you know, because they monitor your oxygen content. So it is possible for you to have non-apneatic waking episodes at night.
Yep.
And they will find those as well. So it is a super useful test. At the very least, it tells you, you know, kind of like what it tells you, like, what you need to worry about.
Yeah.
In terms of getting stuff fixed. So, that being said, I would say absolutely, positively, 100%, go get it done. You will really, really, truly benefit from it no matter what.
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely. And Ropinirole is great for restless leg, which I had, or they thought that I had. And then there are other options. If it's slight apnea, there's that... cosmetic surgery they can do by shaving off some of the upper glottal area.
Shave your glottals. Shave off your glottals.
And this is an easy fix. Sometimes it's just a little extra exercise.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed that since the show was going on, Jen was working, we got the dog, and me being sick and not going to the gym, I'm not sleeping as well as I was when I was just going an hour to the gym. Mm-hmm. And nothing super, you know, I do 15 minutes on an aerobic machine, you know, elliptical type thing,
mm-hmm.
and then I'd lift weights. That was it. Now I'm walking the dog more, you know, doing things like that. Still, she's a puppy. We're not walking long distances, but just that little bit of exercise really does... help with a good night's sleep. So
it truly does.
Now we'll get off our soapbox and James, let us know how the test goes.
I might sleep on the soapbox. I'm very tired.
Yes.
Did I mention that? I think I did. I feel like I did.
Do you have a question for this week?
I really don't.
Okay, I do.
Good.
And I don't think that we have asked this.
Oh, do tell.
So I'm hoping that we haven't. What is your
quest?
Ideal
pet? My ideal pet is someone else's pet. I can go, I can get all the loves and cuddles and everything, and then get the fuck out of there and not have to deal with it at night or take it for walks.
But what kind of pet? I mean,
oh,
is it a dog? Do you want to pet
dogs,
the turtle?
I like cats, pet turtles are fun.
I mean, what about getting yourself a fish tank?
No,
you just gotta feed it.
No, they stink.
You got pretty color.
They smell bad.
Okay. Anyway, that'll be the question of the week. What is your ideal pet, either that you have currently, have had, or would like to have? Because now that we have one, we're thinking, wow, she needs a lot of attention. Maybe we should get a second one.
Oh, dear God, you're like a parent.
I know.
You know, when I grow up, I should become a lobbyist so I can have a pet congressman.
There you go. Perfect. Has anything else transpired in your noggin as far as things that we should talk about before we get into questions?
Nothing really. I mean, like I said, the biggest things that I've been doing right now, I mean, I did watch the new Stranger Things.
You got all the way through?
I got all the way through it. I highly recommend looking at all the shit that's going on with Stranger Things right now, because there's an Xbox game. Well, there's a, depending on what system you have, it's pretty much for everything. There's a basically a video game for it for season 3. There's an AR, an augmented reality game going on right now that you have to use fucking Telnet to play.
Oh, wow.
Which is kind of awesome. I think that this season is the most... So, the show has always captured the feeling of the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first time the show has been a show from the 80s. It's always been a modern show showing you what it was like in the 80s. This time around, it very much captured what it was like to be a show in the 80s. They stop for a commercial in the middle of one scene, a Coke 2 commercial, or New Coke commercial, rather. It's mm-hmm. amazing. Well, because they take the piss out of it immediately, too.
Yeah.
They do the commercial. It's a very... And, I mean, Coke's sponsoring them. So the fact they take the piss out of it's really funny.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everyone thinks the product placement is silly. I think it's perfect. That's literally what the 80s was.
Yeah.
Mac and Me was an ad for McDonald's that was called a movie.
Mm-hmm.
The Wizard was an ad for Nintendo that was called a movie. The 80s were ads that were called other things.
Yeah.
So I don't hate that. I actually kind of love it. It feels really good. There's a lot of like look-alike moments in Stranger Things 3 where they did such a good job of matching a certain Austrian bodybuilder in terms of how he's utilized.
Mm-hmm.
It's so perfect.
Yeah.
It's amazing. So I loved Stranger Things 3. I think it was great.
I'm liking it. Jen's not liking the subject matter as much.
Because of where it focuses?
It's because it's turned into, instead of this, if you will, supernatural thriller,
uh-huh.
where you, especially season 1, you don't know what's going on.
Right.
Season 2, now you know what the big bad is. Okay, they've got to figure out how to defeat it.
Right.
Now we've got all of that's done. Was it defeated? And it's a little bit more graphic horror.
Yeah, for sure.
In its tone.
Right.
The other thing was there are some bits because it's now not just the city, not just the environment, not just the woods. There is a budget concern, so there is some stuff that's a bit campy, but it's campy, like you said. It's an 80s show now.
Yeah, well, where did the 80s horror happen? It happened in malls.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That is, I heard they actually fucking completely refaced that mall, too. For real.
Oh, I'm sure they did.
And they made a shit ton of money off of it.
Yeah.
So a couple of things that I want to just immediately say I love about this season.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Just.
Without spoilers.
Yeah. I'm through episode 5.
Okay. So you've got
three left.
Cool. So you were already fully aware of Scoop's troop, Team Scoops Ahoy.
Yeah.
Which I love. Did you know that that the girl is, she's Ethan Hawke and Uma Thurman's child?
Okay, I didn't know that, but now
just like Uma Thurman,
totally makes sense.
Her vocal patterning, yes. Patterning and everything.
Yeah,
patterning. I love Team Scoop. So they weren't called Scoop's troop until like later in the show. So we've been calling them the Ice Cream Dream Team, and I really like that a lot more. Alexi is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a great. Oh, what's his name? He plays Martin in Fleabag. Murray.
Right, Murray.
The guy who plays Murray. I love that guy so much.
Oh, I know.
He is killing this season. He's so good.
He's also in Camping.
Oh, hey, there we go.
If you have not seen Camping, watch that.
Now,
it was a great little...
Camping has a lot of actors from America and from across the pond. Right?
Yes, David Tennant, Jennifer Garner.
Right, okay. Which I wonder if that's how he ended up in Fleabag. Because I think he might have lived in Britain for a while.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't seen it, by the way, Fleabag.
Oh, God.
Must watch.
Must watch.
Must watch. It is, it's always sunny with class, if that makes any sense.
And the thing to take away is, when you're really uncomfortable on the subject matter, remember she wrote it, so yep. It's okay.
Well, and additionally, beyond that, everybody... is garbage in their own way.
Oh, absolutely.
Which is where the... Oh, something must have finished because it just popped back to your first desktop.
And we're still... Look at that.
Yeah.
Two desktops. Audition didn't crash.
Yeah, I know. They still haven't fixed the fucking noise print thing, though. You still have to do Shift-P, Escape, Shift-P.
Yeah.
Or Control-Shift-P. So, yeah, I would say there are some just fantastic shows out there right now that maybe aren't getting as much love. Fleabag's getting pretty well promoted.
Obviously,
Stranger Things is getting promoted to shit. You can get New Coke right now. Like, let me reiterate how big a deal Stranger Things 3 is. You can buy New Coke today because of that show.
My favorite part of episode 4 was when they, and this is no spoilers because I'm not saying who they are,
right?
But they arrive at the 7-Eleven and start drinking. The first thing Jen said was, "No one drinks New Coke," and I just about lost my shit.
No one drank New Coke, but they sure did in movies and TV at the time.
Yes, they did,
because it was promoted. Here's the thing, science. And my own memory both serve me to say New Coke was awesome. Every single taste test that was blind, New Coke was beating out Coke and Pepsi by a significant amount.
Mm-hmm.
My own experience, and this was because I was a poor kid living in Spokane, it was 25 cents for a can that was 24 ounces.
Mm-hmm.
So I love New Coke.
Yeah.
It was basically like two cans for half the price of one.
Tasted like RC, if I remember correctly.
Well, and I love RC. RC is so good.
Royal Crown's the best cola.
It's my all-time favorite cherry cola in the history of cherry colas is Cherry RC, which is not made anymore.
No.
At least in this area. So if you're out there and you get Cherry RC in your area, or Cherry Garcia, Cherry RC in your area, let us know, and I will send you some money for shipping. So yeah, I liked it. I like it a lot. I enjoy. I'm probably gonna go watch all three seasons again.
Mm-hmm.
We just re-binged The Good Place.
Oh yeah,
because fucking A, that show is amazing.
Yeah,
and I never revisited the first season after knowing the twist.
Mm-hmm.
Watching it from the first season again, they never, ever, ever hit it. Not once did they hide it. At all.
Yeah.
You just believed what they believed.
Yep.
It was so well done.
Like the original Willy Wonka.
Yeah.
Watch it as a kid. It's amazing. Watch it as an adult. He's an asshole.
Yeah.
He doesn't care about these kids.
No. He just wants someone to take
He's
over
like
his business.
He's like me.
Yeah.
Big Little Lies we've started.
I've heard that's pretty good. The funny thing about Big Little Lies to me, and this is having not watched it, this is only have watching promo material, it looks like a CW teen drama for 45-year-olds.
Oh, no.
No?
No, this is like Breaking Bad for women.
That kind of... Dude, maybe you need to watch more CW teen dramas. They're fucking dark.
Okay, season 2 is. Season 1... I did not know how they were going to follow it up because the story's done.
Uh-huh.
they're doing a really good job of following it up
good.
In a super realistic way. I don't want to give anything away, but it's really quite well done. Gentleman Jack, if you have HBO and have not watched that, watch that. Great period piece about, because Jen played Lily Langtree, I get the name of the actual person confused, but she was a real historic figure.
Mm-hmm.
She was gay. Mm-hmm. And her diaries were only recently in the mid-1900s deciphered.
Hmm.
She used Latin and geometry to code all of her diaries.
Nice.
And she comes back as the, not estranged, I think she's like a niece of a family of landowners, but as the eldest, she inherits it and she dresses in pants and a top hat and top coat, and people find her very strange. It is a wonderful love story. It's a wonderful story of just the gentry of Victorian England and how all that comes about.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really well done. Has some people that you'll recognize from Game of Thrones. What doesn't?
Yeah, no shit.
And so, yeah, that's a good one. Bonding. I found approachable.
Yeah, Aaron started that. I haven't watched any of it yet.
It's cute and funny in the right way.
Yeah.
I think it's.
If it doesn't have Jennifer Tilly in it, I don't. You know, and Anna Gershon. I don't care.
Yeah.
Oh wait, that's Bound.
Right. But it is. Pretty cute, pretty well done intro into, it's an approachable introduction to a seedy part of life that most
right.
people don't understand.
Well, you know, I just had a flash in my mind of a movie that I haven't thought about probably since it was released, which I think was either late 90s or very early 2000s.
Let me guess.
Okay, go ahead, because it's not going to be.
James Spader and Maggie Gyllenhaal?
No, that's oh, okay. not Secretary.
Okay.
Also not Secretariat.
completely
maybe,
different.
Is it though? Anyway, 50 Shades of Horse Cock. So the what popped in my head was Annette Bening. It's an Annette Bening movie. It has nothing to do with bondage.
Right.
For some reason, it just popped in my head.
No idea.
No idea. I'll give you another actor in it. Gary Shandling. And I think I have the title right in my head, but I might not. I think it's called What Planet Are You From? And Gary Shandling is an alien studying the sexual habits of humans, and he gets a vibrating penis and fucks Annette Bening, I think. This is all just because I don't even know if I watched it. I might have just watched ads for it.
Oh my gosh, I need to watch that. That sounds hilarious.
Yeah, I think I remember the trailer, like, something's wrong because his penis isn't vibrating. and someone asks him, like, should I take a look at your penis? And it's like, oh, it's can we move this somewhere else? Because Gary Shandling was like the king of the subdued delivery.
Yeah.
And the best theme song in the history of all TV. This is the theme to Gary Show, the opening theme to Gary Show. Love that fucking song.
Yeah.
So I don't know why, but that popped into my head. And again, all of those facts might be completely wrong. It just coalesced in my brain. So maybe I made up a movie, but I don't think so. I think it was called What Planet Are You From? Because Out of This World was that TV show with Zach Morris's sister who could stop time. But see,
right.
Cause he can stop time.
Yeah.
I think that's my fan theory. That's my personal headcanon is Zach Morris is the, they're twins. From, you know, the girl from Out of This World and Zach Morris, they can both stop time because he does the timeout and she puts her fingers together to stop time. And he ended up getting adopted by some rich people in Malibu or wherever the fuck Bayside, California. And ended up using his powers to become the biggest sociopathic piece of shit on the planet. Whereas she just tried to find her dad, who was, I think, Burt Reynolds. Voice in a Box. So yeah, that's out of this world. So I'm pretty sure it's What Planet Are You From?
And for our Australian listeners,
good eye.
Jen and I just finished season 2 of Instant Hotel, which is a great competition for people, just average people who are turning their homes into basically luxury Airbnbs.
Oh.
And season 1 had some problems. They had 5 groups of people. So you had 5 couples. Mm-hmm. Everybody would go to somebody else's instant hotel.
Okay.
So you would have 4 couples trying to sleep in an instant hotel that usually slept 6.
Okay.
So now you have 8 people trying to fit into a 6-person house.
Uh-huh.
The new season, they've cut it down to only 4 couples. So you have someone entertaining everybody else at their hotel.
Uh-huh.
And they base it on the house itself, the location and attractions, the night's sleep,
right,
and something else.
Yeah.
But it is frustratingly, addictively sucks you into the point that I was yelling at the TV going, these fuckers can't win. They can't fight. Oh my God, they're going to fucking win.
Oh my
It was, yeah. Jen's like, it's okay. It's not, it's not okay.
It's not okay. I will say, so I've seen quite a number of the last half of episodes of The Fix. Because Aaron usually watches it when I'm like out either at, Metaverse or whatever. So I'll come in and it'll be the last half of an episode of The Fix, which is Jimmy Carr's American game show that is built like a British game show.
Yes.
So they have two. It actually follows Wilty. It follows Wilty a great deal, though I'm guessing there was a British The Fix as well. But it follows Wilty where two teams with two permanent fixtures. One is D.L. Hughley. One is Catherine Ryan.
Yep.
And
Catherine Ryan is huge in England.
Fucking A, she is funny.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Her stand-up shows on Netflix are great.
She's so fucking quick, too.
Yes.
Because like a lot of the stuff is pre-scripted. Like a lot of British quiz shows, there's a lot of pre-scripted moments. And you can tell through the delivery. But then some of the reactions will be live.
Yep.
And she is by far the fastest person in that regard.
Yeah.
Aside from like occasionally they'll bring on another guest who's faster, but like fucking if you're going score for score over time, like she destroys D.L. Hughley in terms of, it also taught me that I fucking hate, what's his name? Howie Mandel. When he's not reading a script.
Oh,
he's not garbage. He is just completely uninteresting. He's uninteresting. He's very rich and very smug about it. And he makes jokes about how rich he is and how smug he is about it.
Yeah. He's changed.
Well, yeah. He didn't make any of his money from acting. It's all from producing that fucking America's Got Talent or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it? Is that the right one?
No, it's the Millionaire Triangle or whatever.
Well, he does the Deal or No Deal.
Yeah.
He did that, but the one that Simon Cowell also produces that he's on. X Factor?
Yeah.
Like one of those.
Yeah.
Either America's Got Talent or
Howie's helped to produce that too?
Yes. He helped produce that. So he's fucking rich. And he's a germaphobe. And
yes, he is.
He won't, like he constantly talks about how he literally on his property built a second house that he goes to whenever someone even starts to kind of be sick and just lives in alone until they're done.
Yep.
So,
but it's nice. He doesn't exile them. He exiles himself.
True, but he's not funny. That's the other thing is it's just not funny. Mm. It's tragic and sad and he's not interesting.
Mm. I got a soft spot for Howie.
You have a soft spot for him. That's fine. Go watch his episode of The Fix. Maybe it'll harden your spot.
I have. I've watched all of them.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I did not care for him on the show.
Mm.
Which isn't to say that any, like a lot of the other, so his show, though, had one of my favorite other guests, the Indian woman who's poor, and who I 100% believe is a poor stand-up, who makes probably what, like, our local actors make.
Yep.
She is fucking smart.
Yes.
And very funny.
Yes.
I think she has maybe false teeth, which was interesting. Like, that's how poor she probably grew up. But she is so fucking funny.
The Fix, I don't think that The Fix itself was an English program, okay, but it is very, very similar modern to 8 out of 10 Cats.
Yeah, okay.
Which is also a Jimmy Carr-headed.
Right, right. So,
which was same basic-ish two teams and usually had same players week in and week out. It may have, because it was longer running,
yeah,
they probably had a couple standards on either side, and then you'd have your guests come in.
Right.
But they're just hilarious.
Yeah, Funches is great when he shows up.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta love Ron. He's we adopted him as a Pacific Northwesterner, even though he's from Chicago. But like, we got him when he was still fat and not famous, and we loved him. And now he is thin and super famous, and we still love him.
Yep.
And I miss Powerless. God damn it. Anyway. Okay, well, we should get some questions.
Let me go back here. And
we're going to go back.
Check. And see. Nope. Nobody has brought anything else new.
Okay.
Okay, great. So we can go to questions.
All right. So we'll start with Rob McLennan, who writes, do you have a favorite This Is My America movie? Well, American movie is pretty great.
Yeah. Wet Hot American Summer is pretty great. Wet Hot American Summer.
This Is My America, though, I think is like the America we want to live in, mm-hmm, or whatever. I mean, that's a tough one. I don't know, because movies are intentionally usually confrontational in a way that is uncomfortable to get the plot moving. So do I have a This Is My America movie that I'm really like, this is what I would like to be? Not really. Though, if you have not seen American movie, Wet Hot American Summer as well, but definitely, like, that's, you're getting into a franchise at that point. You need to watch the movie. You need to watch the series. You need to watch the other series. Like, it's a whole thing, because it's Wet Hot American Summer, and then there's the...
But it's a good standalone. I mean, it was done as a standalone.
It is, but I'm saying you will get into it.
Yes,
and you're going to watch First Day of Camp, which is 15 years later,
oh,
and they're and then you're going to watch their 10-year reunion movie, mm-hmm, and then they're all funny, and they're all worth watching.
Yeah.
So, Wet Hot American Summer is great. American Movie, if you don't know what it is a documentary about two, I want to say, that they're not Wisconsin, right? Are they're Wisconsin. Wisconsinites, I think.
I think.
They could be Michigan. I have forgotten now.
Somewhere in that
area.
Breadbasket of America.
Yeah. So it's these
cheese
two,
basket, sorry. Cheese basket of America.
It's these two guys who want to make a movie. And it is their process. And the movie they make is called Coven. And they even bring it up. It's like, isn't it Coven? No, Coven. That sounds stupid, Coven. It's Coven's like oven. No, it's Coven. And the best part is Mike, the dude who, he's this burnout dude who's this guy's friend, the main movie maker's friend. And when I say burnout, holy shit, there's like this whole scene where he's talking about, yeah, we got drunk on vodka and we drank a bunch of vodka and I had about 100 hits of acid in my pocket. I absorbed the acid and I went to the hospital. And like, the whole thing is him talking about how he sounds like Heifer from Rocco's Modern Life,
mm-hmm,
and he fucked his life up. And I remember at the end of American Movie, they had their fucking personal phone number and you could call it and talk to him. A friend of mine called him and just talked to him for fucking ever. And it is so, so, so heartfelt. What they're doing is so heartfelt. So the movie, and if you buy it on DVD, it comes with Coven.
Oh, nice.
So definitely do it that way. Yeah, American Movie's fucking great. Is it the America I want to live in? I mean, kind of. It's the America I did live in. You know, like, it shows what... Remember, this is before digital.
Right.
So making a movie... They were shooting 16 mil.
Mm-hmm.
Making a movie on 16 mil, that's minimum minimum $6,000 in just stock.
Yep.
So they started going through like what they had to do to like how many this is before DVDs, like how many tapes they had to sell and stuff like that. It was so fucking fun to watch. Highly recommend watching American Movie.
For me, for This Is My America movie, I'm going to call out three movies.
Oh.
And then I'm going to throw a caveat. So I think it's 1941, Steven Spielberg.
Yes, with Dan Aykroyd and basically the Animal House crew for the most part.
Second movie is Animal House.
Okay.
And third movie, well, third franchise would be the Porky's franchise.
I'm seeing a pattern.
Mm-hmm.
Except for 1941, funny enough.
Right.
Because that's the Animal House crew. Like, is Tim Hulse in that? Like, he might. No, he's not.
No.
So for those of you who haven't seen it, basic plot is people think they spot a Japanese submarine off the coast of a small Californian town. That's it. There you go. There's your plot. There's a Ferris wheel. Enjoy. Have fun. And a lot of people are trying to fuck, and a lot of other, you know, it's that time frame. It's the Porky's, it's the John Landis time frame for movies.
Yep. Throw Porky's out. That wasn't the one I was thinking of. Caddyshack.
Okay.
Which I think will start to solidify my caveat, which is any Harold Ramis film.
I would be careful with the caveat of any Harold Ramis film, because you might want to go to IMDb and look up all Harold Ramis films before you make that any Harold Ramis. That being said, or do you mean produced by / written by, just starring?
Correct. Not just starring. Okay, no, okay. The films that created and he was the force.
I don't even hate
behind.
Ghostbusters 2, to be honest. No. Which is, I mean, that's Ivan Reitman and all three of the main comedian actors, but like it's not super bad.
No,
it's okay. There was a movie I was watching, Red Letter Media, which if you don't watch Red Letter Media, I think I've said this before, go check them out. A bunch of Milwaukee guys who are terrible at making their own movies in a good way, but who were very good at critiquing film. So, worth watching. They just did a review, and a review is when they two of the crew get together and talk about a movie that they haven't watched in a while. And this one was The Mouth of Madness, which is Sam Neill. Is that right? Yeah, it is Sam Neill, I think. Because of course it is, because like if you're gonna put someone in a 1990s Lovecraftian film, it's got to be Sam Neill, right?
Yeah.
Anyway. Basically, it's him as a writer it's him investigating a writer. I have not actually watched this movie. And the writer's name, it's basically Stephen King, but I think it's like Sutter Kane.
Yes. I
and
know
then
which
they
one
mention
you're
Stephen
about.
King in the fucking movie. Like, if you're going to call your writer Sutter Kane and put it in the fucking Stranger Things font, we don't need you to say Stephen King. Anyway, but the movie has fucking Vigo from Ghostbusters 2 in it as a townsfolk. This guy has the thickest German accent. Vigo the fucking Carpathian is like, "Hey, Billy, you're my kid." I know he was a French trapper for a second there. I don't know. What's weird though is that's not too far off either.
Yeah.
So that's weird. I got to watch it. I got to watch it. It looks like a fucking buttload of fun.
Keep going.
Which is a measurement for wine, I found out. It has to do with a cask size. Next, James Peters writes, "What's a voice role you would like to play that folks wouldn't think to cast you for?" I'll take any role because they're not thinking to cast me right now. I gotta go with, I don't know. For me, a lot of what Frank Welker does is kind of in my wheelhouse, but Frank Welker is Frank fucking Welker, and he's going to do it better than I am. So apart from that, I don't know. I mean, I would love to do, you know, a kid show of some type or a video game mascot type thing. Not one to switch, I can tell you that. But I mean, it was fine. It was fun to do, except for now that the Switch Lite is coming out, a whole new generation of people won't be able to play it. So that's great. I guess for me, like, I'd love to do some kids show villain maybe, or, you know, something along the lines of, I would just like to do something somewhat iconic so I can go to fucking cons as that character, or like as the voice actor for that character. That's really just all I care about at this point.
Yeah. I'd like to do an animated something.
Yeah. That's kind of what I'm saying. Like, you know, a Nickelodeon type. I mean, I know we don't have Nickelodeon shows anymore, blah, 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 but like a Nickelodeon type thing, or something kind of, you know, Rooster Teethy, something that like goes viral and is really funny. I mean, most of my roles are usually either background character X or announcer guy, or we need to pay one person to do 20 voices. Mm-hmm. That's the other thing I get a lot. I mean, it's how I ended up in Chaldea. I turned in 20 auditions and got cast for 4 things.
Yeah.
So, you know, and they were, it was great because one of them was a Russian guy, and that's always a fun, that's just fun to do. And then one of them was essentially the Dr. Claw voice, and that's not fun to do, but I thought everybody could do that voice. It would just seem like a voice everybody could do because you're using your throat, not your vocal cords. So, like, I thought everybody could do that voice, but I guess it, not as much. And then the last one was British, or, well, then there was a bunch of, like, Walla and sounds and shit like that. And then I did Livingston, who was British, and that one was fun because his name was Livingston, so I assumed London, you know, upper crust, and I was told no, he's northern and low rent essentially, so I basically got to go in and Jon Snow it up, and that was tons of fun. Because Jon Snow, I think, is Irish or Scottish, one of the two. I think he's Irish.
Kit Harington. No.
Well, he's not northern, regardless.
No.
And what he did is he just watched Sean Bean movies. I'm not joking. Like, he talked about it. He fucking watched Sean Bean movies to get the accent down, and he's really the only one that nailed it. Out of all of the other kids, he's the only one who really just destroyed it.
Yeah.
I know that a lot of people, though, who are supposed to be... he's just from London. A lot of people who are supposed to be British in Game of Thrones were Irish, or,
yes,
you know, it was pretty funny. Almost nobody used their original accents except for Sean Bean.
Mm-hmm.
And he just used his original accent. I guess like Sophie Turner did, and, you know, Maisie, what the kids did a little bit, except for Bran, did the Northern one a little bit too. Not as good as Kit Harington, but fairly well. And I do believe Mark Addy is Northern. I believe he's a Yorkshire boy, but I'm not 100% sure on that. So I guess Robert Baratheon might have been using his own accent. So, well, let's see. Let's just find out. York. Yep. That's champion. Tommy, ta very much. So yeah, basically, that to me is kind of just something iconic.
Yeah,
just something iconic would be great.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm gonna prepend our new name because we actually have a new backer.
Yay!
Yay! So I think that about wraps it up. Unless you.
Yeah. No way. I think that answers that.
Yeah, that's the voice work I would like to do someday. Just coughing into the void. So without much further ado, but a little bit, huge thanks to our Patreon patrons, Laura Red Scott,
Hawk Robinson,
James Peters,
Leslie Sedlak,
Rob McLennan,
Stuart Hume,
Zombie Orpheus Entertainment,
Gordon D. Duke,
Denise Neckhowl. I'm gonna no, let's not do that. Okay. Dennis Nickel.
Jay Blanken.
Casey Lee.
Dougie Sharp.
Seth M. Davis.
Todd McKimmy.
Lotta Jerv.
Tom Barofi.
Laura Adams.
James Herbert.
Beau Pritchard.
Tim Martin.
Brad Roberts.
Jennifer Reifenberry.
And Rival Guy, who should be appearing on an episode soon. We need to work it out and get him transport, but he wants to come talk about his new game, and
cool.
I think that would be amazing. Plus, talking about the state of games in general, considering it ain't great right now.
Yeah.
Microtransactions shouldn't be a game. Though, what can I say? My favorite fucking Steam game is Store.